I will be reading Leviticus 10, verse 3. Then Moses spoke to Aaron. He said that's what the Lord was talking about when he said, "Among those who approach me, I will show that I am holy in the sight of all of the people. I will be honored." So Aaron remained silent.
Preach the word, brother.
Morning. If you have your Bibles, and be like, if you would be turning to Isaiah, the 58th chapter. Isaiah, the 58th chapter. It's good to see all of you and some visitors as well. And got a couple things. I've been trying to hold my announcements and let somebody else do it, but I have a couple things I need to say. Tonight we're going to have our Sunday Night Live again. Tonight is not a normal night. Tonight I'm going to share something with you that concerns every person here. Something that'll knock your socks off, by the way, and I ain't telling you what it is. You got to come back tonight. Hey, please don't miss this. This is one of the most unusual things you'll probably hear of in your life for quite a number of days, and I mean that seriously. Last Sunday, I want to tell you, being with the youth up in Duluth was a blessing. We have such good youth here, and I appreciate all the adults that went along and helped us with that. And I think I know the kids benefited from it spiritually. Got some calls from some of the parents saying that how much they appreciated it. Thirdly, boy, I got all kinds of announcements. I'm glad I was gone last week. Ron did an awesome job preaching a very timely message on confession. If you have not heard that, please go to our website and listen to that sermon. We did make it back Sunday evening in time to go over questions he had formulated in regard to confession, which was interesting. What do you want to confess? So our group, we really got into that, and we spent some time on that. Ron, appreciate you following your heart, because there's no doubt that God led you to preach that sermon. As for today, we're going to talk about honoring the Lord's Day. Honoring the Lord's Day. When I was a little boy, my dad started going deer hunting out in Colorado every year. He would go to a little town in the southwest corner of the state called Dove Creek, Colorado. It's by Cortez and some of those places. My family used to own a sawmill out there. And he'd go out there and he would hunt mule tail deer, which get really big, like cows. I mean, they're huge. But he did this every year. And I can still remember as a child wondering the whole week my dad was gone what kind of adventure he was on. You know, had a bear killed him in a way we just hadn't heard yet? I thought things like this. Had he climbed up to the top of the tree and he was looking to see which way to go? Was he lost? You know, or had he just scaled to the top of some rocky cliff where he could see better? As a little boy, I can remember thinking all of those things. But, you know, deer hunting to my dad was a really special thing. I mean, special to the point that he would take all year preparing for it. He'd get his gun out, and he'd clean, and he'd oil that thing 50 times during the year, and never use it once, but it just needed cleaned, you know, because if there was one speck of dust on that gun, it might cause him to miss the big one. Well, then he would do all this planning. He'd get a notebook and he'd write down the mileage and how much gas was costing and just what kind of he's going to take the truck with the camper on it and the little cook stove in the back, or is he going to do all that in the motel, you know, all that big stuff to him? Well, during the year, he'd get out his billfold. Now, what's in your billfold? Pictures of your children? He'd have pictures of deer in his billfold. You know, and I was going to put those on the screen, but I didn't want to bore you. He'd point to these deer and show people, you know, his goal was he was going to get him a deer that would qualify for the Boone and Crockett record book. Is that how you call that? And you know, the antlers have to be so big and all this. I was just concerned about eating the deer, but he was concerned about the record, you know. Well, I knew that it was getting close when, about August, he couldn't usually wait, but about August, he'd call out there to the motel that they stayed in every year. Reserved the same room every year for 20 years. Talked to the people, called my first name because they knew him, he knew them, and they knew that they were coming and they knew what was going on. Then he'd send out and get his deer tag, see, because he's an outstater. Well, you get an idea that it was a pretty special thing, right?
Do you have anything that's really special in your life? We have people here that go on fishing trips every year. We have people here that go up to Minnesota and go camping every year. We have people every year that go four-wheeling every year. Those are special times, aren't they? What kind of special event do you have in your life? Something that you enjoy doing every year? Well, I want to take just a minute to mention to you that there was a group of excited people a long time ago. People under the old covenant system, people during the time of Isaiah, they got excited about worshiping God. They got just really excited about being a part of God's life. And they got excited about the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath was the Old Testament day of worship. The Sabbath was a day of rest because that's when God rested from creation, and that was the ordination of the Sabbath. But it also, the Sabbath also represented a day of celebration, a day of worship, a day of remembrance of the delivery from Egyptian bondage. Today, the Lord's Day is our day of worship, as we read in the New Testament, Acts chapter 20. Now, I've got a statement prepared here, and I want to read this, because I don't want to miss a word. Today, the Lord's Day has been played down and stripped of importance by the world we live in. Football, hockey, baseball, basketball, family gatherings, fishing trips, shopping, work, and even sleep has become more important than God. And let me tell you, church, this is a shameful thing. It not only dishonors God, but I think it hurts Him too. And I wish that I could stand here and report to you that this was a worldly problem. But the fact is, church, I don't mince words about this, I just want to call it for what it is. It's not just a worldly problem, but it exists in the church as well. The sole purpose of what I'm wanting to share with you today is the fact that I want to remind you that the Lord's Day is of great importance and it is sacred. That's what I want us to get out of today's message. Isaiah chapter 58, we're going to look at two verses today. We'll start with verse 13.
Isaiah 58:13.
If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word. Verse 14 is going to go into then, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Isaiah begins here, and he says that God's day is to be holy. God's day is to be holy. And that comes from the Hebrew word kodesh that means sacred. And sacred has to do with consecration or dedication. And you know, in many ways, I think we've lost touch with the concept of sacred in our day and time. And I think a lot of times we define what's sacred, or we can be certainly be tempted to define sacred from what fills our desires and what we enjoy and what we like and what we like to participate in. Have you been seeing the commercials on TV lately? I think they're just great. There's a commercial about an insurance, I think it's an insurance agency. It's talking about the fact that our society has become a people that are not committed or dedicated to anything. And the commercial goes something like this. You not like your job? Get rid of it. You don't like your car? Get rid of it. You don't like your spouse? Get rid of them. We live in a disposable society. And you know what? God did not make us to be a disposable people. He made us to be a people of dedication, a people of commitment. We live in a postmodern world where our world doesn't want any absolutes. Don't put anything on me that's binding. I don't want to have to deal with any absolutes in my life. What I want is, I want escape clauses. Okay? So if I'm not feeling the way I ought to feel, I can use this escape hatch. And God says, no, that's not what I'm wanting from you. You see, dedicated means to set something aside for a specific cause. And God wants us to set His day aside for a specific cause, and that cause is worship. Worship has to do with homage or reverence or adoration of God. Now, I want to underscore that, and it seems silly that I would have to do that. But you know what, church? It's not necessarily something that's evident. Because sometimes people like to worship themselves. Sometimes people care more about themselves, and they come and they sit in the worship assembly, and I know because I've done it before, more concerned about with what's going on in my life than what God expects and what makes Him happy. Worship has to do with acknowledging who God is and what He has done for us. As Brother Dave mentioned on the Lord's table this morning, He's done an awful lot for us. Worship is about praising the name of God. Worship is about glorifying and exalting Him. It's about recognizing our dependence upon Him. Worship is about humility, church. Worship is about being mindful of the sacrifice that He made on our behalf, a sacrifice that we could not make for ourselves. Worship has to do with denying ourselves. Worship has to do with surrender. Worship has to do with love. And worship has to do with consecration and dedication. Did you catch what Isaiah said when God says, it is my holy what? Did you catch that? Holy hour? Today is my holy hour. My 2 hours? Well, if we go to church Bible school this morning and church, well, that'd be 2.5 hours. And PM service, 3.5 hours. He says, my holy day. Now, I know this is going to seem strange, but I did a little checking on this. Last time I checked, there were 24 hours in a day. There was 24 hours in a day. And you might say, well, I've only got 2 days off a week to rest. I know this is true, but worship is about sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. God expects us to sacrifice. Now, when we go back into the Old Covenant and we look at a monetary sacrifice, we see that God expected His people to give 1/10 of their finances, their money, their wealth to the Lord. That's what He expected. And you know, today, all we have in the New Testament says that we should be a cheerful giver. You know, so we look at this. Well, 1/10 is a lot of money, isn't it? How much more is God expecting when He says, I want you to give me your time? Because you know what? 1/10 don't cut it in the time frame. He wants 1/7. Isn't 7 His number anyway? God wants us to give 1/7 of our time. He wants us to carve out, He wants us to set aside a day for Him. In Acts 20 and verse 7, that day is today, the first day of the week. It is not a day, or should not be a day, that resembles all the other days of your week. It's not supposed to be a day filled with games. It's not supposed to be a day filled with television, lawn mowing. Oh, this is really hurting my toes because I do some of these things. I'm preaching myself. Y'all just get to listen. It's sad when we have more sacred, secular things than we do religious things. God's day, you see, church is supposed to be special. Special things have some things in common. When something's special, it's planned for. It's prepared for. How many of you prepared for and planned for worship today? Don't raise your hands. I just want you to think about it. And what did you do to get ready and to plan? Well, certainly some of the things we could have done, which we may or may not have done, we certainly should have been prayerful about our worship this morning and making sure that it'd be pleasing to God. Certainly, we should have made sure that we had enough sleep so that we'd be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to give our full attention on God. You see, we should do some planning and preparation for the Lord's day of worship. But you know, sometimes it's a spur-of-the-moment thing, and God doesn't want to be spur-of-the-moment. He wants to have some dedication and focus. God's day has to be protected from intrusion. Let's say that the relative comes by that shows up every now and again. The relative that doesn't like to go to church. You know, the type. You know what our first response ought to be? Man, I'm sorry you're going to have to sit here by yourself, but I'm not going to miss worshiping God for nothing. And if you're like me, I can remember times in the past when I made the wrong choice. Well, maybe it's not a relative coming to visit. Maybe it's a television show. Maybe it's some choice other than God. God wants us to choose Him. We have to protect our day of worship from intrusion. In church, it all comes down to one thing from Dan's vantage point. It all comes down to desire. See, what we've been talking about so far is kind of some of the facts about it. But now here's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. This thing really comes down to desire. Worship is not because we have to, but worship is because we want to. Worship is not about a command. Worship is not about duty. Worship, church, is about devotion. Dedication to God. I've heard people in the past argue, you know, the only commandment for worship is for Sundays. So legalistically, if you come on one time on Sunday, you've met the commandment, right? If you're thinking in that way, you're off base. If you're thinking that it's a command and it's just about law keeping in regard to worship, you're so far away from what God wants you to understand with that idea. Attendance shouldn't be a question. It just ought to be an acknowledgement that the day I stop attending the worship service of God is a day that they'll pry my dead, cold body out of the grave. That's what we ought to feel, church. That's what we ought to just know. Worship, you see, ought to be a habit. When we read Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some is in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now you see, I don't judge you if you don't come to the service. You know, there are some people right now that's not here this morning. Dave and Sandy called me and they said the roads are really treacherous. They live a long ways from here. Maybe some of the older folks that are not here are afraid to slip on the ice. You see, that's something between them and God. So I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, you got to come to every worship service or you're going to hell. And people in the church in the past have said something like that. But when we fail to meet together, we fail to encourage one another, we fail to be before God, and who would want to miss an opportunity to worship God? But he says in Hebrews 10:25 that it's about a habit. My car has a habit. Does your car have a habit? And I drive past Famous Dave down there, and my car turns in. I can't do nothing about it. I feel so helpless. That car used to go in there. It wants to go there. And every time it drives past, it does go there, too. Church, worshiping God ought to be a habit to us. It just ought to be something just natural.
Something that we wouldn't miss for anything in the world. Coincidentally, you know, the shepherds among us, our elders, when they're looking for spiritual indicators for how people are coming along spiritually and when they might be hurting, because, you know, sometimes, church, we don't want to go to our elders and say, "I'm struggling with something." We've got to wait until there's a big fire flaming, which we will approach out of a different message than today. Sometimes we want to keep in the closet and try to struggle with our problems ourselves. You know, an indicator the elders look for? Your church attendance. When your church attendance starts to go down the drain, your spiritual life's headed in the same direction. So, if we're struggling with attendance to a worship service, we ought to be asking ourselves what's going on in our spiritual life. Because God wants us at a worship assembly. He wants us to gather together in His name.
Oh, now it's good stuff. Yeah, that was good. It gets better. I'm just going with what Isaiah is saying. I'm not talking about what I'm talking about. Isaiah 58, verse 13. God's day is to be a day of delight. Delightful. Church, I gave this idea a lot of thought this week. And I realized, if I was going to be truthful with myself, that some of us sitting here this morning may not be delighted that we're here. Maybe we've got problems at work. Maybe there's problems at home. Maybe we're just tired and sleepy. Maybe we're in a spiritual slump. Or maybe you have never felt excited about worshiping God. Let me make a confession. I am totally inadequate to explain delighting in worship to you. I don't know how to explain it, but I'm going to take a shot at it, okay? I think one of the best ways to understand what we're talking about here is to read the book of Psalms and try to catch some of David's spirit. David, being a man after God's own heart, had a spirit about him that would dance before the Lord. Now, we don't want to talk about dancing because that's not a good thing to do, but David was so happy and so delighted that he would dance before the Lord. David was such a faithful man when he looked at God, he went out and he faced a giant that had a sword that wanted to kill him. David had a spirit about him that longed to be in the presence of God. Church, when we long to be in the presence of God, that's when we start understanding delight in His day. Maybe we could talk about Luke chapter 2, Mary, the mother of Jesus, during the birth of Jesus, she looked around and she saw these things, and the text says that she what in her heart? She treasured all these things in her heart. Folks, I think delight requires some treasuring. Isn't that all right? That we treasure God? That we place such great value on Him and what He's doing that it just makes us joyful and it gives delight in our soul? Fundamentally, I can tell you this. Delight. Your heart should be glad. You should be joyful. But I want to tell you this. I think that delight is much more than a choice. I think it's a result. Delight is a result of your relationship and my relationship with God. And relationship with God comes only through reading His Word, through prayer and meditation. Those are the platforms of relationship with God. I look back to times in my life when my Christianity was kind of academic. That's a fancy word for saying pharisaical. A time when my Christianity was about law-keeping, rules and regulations. It was about appearances, and it was void of the heart. Well, we know enough from the New Testament study to know that God wants our heart. God wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want academic measure. He wants our heart. Outside of these things, I believe delight is impossible. I want to read to you three little excerpts from Psalms to communicate the point just a little bit. Psalms 42, verses 1 through 4. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I will remember and pour out my soul within me. Psalms 84, verse 2 says, my soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord, and my heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Verse 10 of 84. Listen to what he says here. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand stand at the threshold of the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. The psalmist here is saying, listen, folks, I would rather be with God than anybody, anytime, anywhere, any place. As a deer pants for the water, as a deer that's been out here running, thirsting, about to kill over and die, and I'm going to move that down. As a deer is out here just thirsting to death, and he comes to a brook and he's refreshing himself with that water. God is refreshment for our souls. And that's exciting. And let me tell you, if you're not excited about who God is this morning, you need to check your whole heart, brothers and sisters. You need to ask, why not? Because you're missing an opportunity to draw near to God.
When you know God deeply, when you have drank from His well, or drunk, that's always confusing me, an explosion of thoughts and feelings of love and joy beyond measure will fill your heart. Then anticipation and excitement happens. And flowing from your heart will be like the rivers of living water. Church, I just don't know how to tell you, that's good stuff. Well, also, God's day is to be a day of honor. A day of honor. Honor means to give weight to esteem highly. And as John read that verse out of Leviticus earlier, God says, I will be honored. Hey, you know, when God says something, I really pay attention. He says here, I will. It's not a question. He says, I will be honored. And Isaiah here in verse 13 gives us three ways that that's going to happen. Number one, he says, by desisting from our own ways on His day. Brethren, we've got to be careful about going our own way on the Lord's day. Why? Because our way is limited at best. Our way has human wisdom, and if your way is anything like mine, my way is often wrong. But God's way is perfect, and we must seek His way. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's way is perfect. I think also about Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 that says, nor is it in a man to direct his own steps. You know, all week I spend trying to direct my own steps. But on God's day, God says, no, don't direct your steps today, Dan. I got this one. You listen to me. You look at me. You focus on me. Don't go your own way. Then number two, Isaiah says, not seeking your own pleasures. God's day is not about seeking your own pleasures. Now, I'm going to really fire myself up about this one because we really need to hear this. You see, God's day is not about us. Now, we can just circle that thought, and if you don't get nothing else, you probably got the lesson. God's day is not about us. It's about Him. And church, our brotherhood across this great United States and beyond is having a big wrestle with this. In the past week, I've heard it. In the past month, I've heard it. In the past year, I've heard it. We have churches across our brotherhood. They've quit preaching the Word and they've started doing drama for Sunday morning. They replaced God's Word with drama. Why? Drama's fun. How many in here you don't like to go to a play?
concern, and our church leaders across our brotherhood have got caught up in the idea of building church attendance, whatever that takes, and not reading the Word of God. Hey, if we put on a play, more people are going to come. Or if we fire up the band, more people are going to come. If we have steak and potatoes on the Lord's Supper, there are going to be a lot of people come. You get the idea? Worship is not about how we feel. One person might say, well, I tried that church, but I didn't feel good when I went there. Excuse me, when does worship become about how we feel? It's never been about that church. Worship is about how God feels. And about what He says that He expects from us. It's more than a feeling. Worship is about God. Can you imagine? Let me just say this. What if next Saturday I told my wife, Charity, I'm going to make next Saturday your day. Next Saturday is going to be about you, baby. And I'm going to take you power tool shopping. Speaking our own words. We studied 1 Peter recently, and 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 talks about speaking as if you were speaking the words of God, not speaking our own words. You know, I want to tell you, I could stand up here and I could tell you cute little stories and make you laugh all day. And I could tell you little antidotes to help you along your way. But the power, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, is in the Word of God. The power is in God's Word, not my words. And He says here that we got to stop talking our own words and we got to focus in and hone in on God's Word. Because God's Word has power. God's Word, 1 Timothy 3:16, is inspired. It is His Word. It's from Him. And it has power. The directions are given in Revelation and 1 Corinthians and also in Deuteronomy and a host of other places. God says this. He says, don't add to or take away anything from my word. Don't you add to or take away nothing from my word. You know, if you stand on that, if you think that's true, that God is not lying, and you're going to stand on that, then the world's going to view you a little bit as legalistic. But God is, what He's telling you is, you be honed in on what I'm saying. You forget all your human philosophy and wisdom and all that. Just chunk that stuff over in the garbage can, and you listen to what I'm saying. That's what God says. Church, we need to be hearing what God's saying. We need to be in His Word because His Word is where our faith comes from, Romans 10 and verse 17. You see, we cannot have faith in God outside of listening to His Word. Now, you can listen to your preacher tell cute little stories that make you laugh, and that's one thing. You can also be listening to God. Because God is where your faith comes. I can tell you, I can try to talk about the Scripture. You need to put your eyeballs on the words in the book because that's where faith comes from. From God. That's pretty serious, and we need to spend as much time as we can in His Word. Which leads us to the consequences of dishonoring God. The consequences of dishonoring Him.
If you go over to Exodus chapter 31 and verse 14, you'll understand that the consequence of not honoring the Sabbath was a fine. Stand in the corner. This is ABC. You pick which one. Well, let's just go right to the last one. Or die. Anybody want to guess? For not honoring God's day, it is death was the consequence in the Old Covenant. Now, that's pretty serious, isn't it? If you go over and you look at Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire before the Lord. They're in there trying to do their thing and worshiping God. You know what? They use a big lighter instead of fire from the altar of incense like they're supposed to. I just guessed at what the fire was. A big lighter gives things in. Something other than what God had commanded. And you know what he did? He cooked them. He killed them. They're dead. They're gone. They're history. They did not honor God. And it was just like Rover. When Rover's dead, he's dead all over. And that's what happened. God says, I will be honored or else. That's what our God says. And I wonder just how many Christians across our great United States have some turmoil going on in their life that have been brought on by them not honoring God's day. You think God is beyond allowing that to happen? I don't think so if he's going to kill people for doing it. So I wonder, when sometimes we have difficulties going on in our life, maybe we ought to look at just how much honor we're giving to God. Numbers chapter 28 and verse 2 says basically that we've got to be very careful about how we worship God. Careful means not waking up at 5 minutes till you got to leave and just rushing in. Careful means getting up and praying. Thinking about what you're doing. Careful means focus on God. Careful means attentive to what he wants and not what we want. And then Isaiah 58 verse 14. Then, Isaiah says, then you will take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I don't exactly know what it means, ride on the heights of the earth, but I want some of that action. If God's going to bless me in some way, and all I've got to do is just honor him, which is a desire of my heart, if all I got to do is delight in him and do what he says and listen to him and give him my focus and attention, hey, I'll take this free blessing because I want to do this anyway. I want to ride on the heights. I want to have that kind of blessing from God. Let me end with a couple of questions. Have you made the Lord's Day sacred? Sacred and dedicated to him. Are the fires of devotion burning in your heart? Is God's day a delight to you? Or is it a burden? And lastly, are you honoring the Lord's Day? Honoring the Lord's Day does not equate to attendance. We can come and we can sit in this pew every single time the doors are open to this facility and not be honoring God in our hearts. It can be merely academic in nature and nothing else. Church, this year, I hope that we can move toward a deep relationship with God, toward growth in our spirit to be what God wants us to be. This morning, we're going to do what we do always. We're going to offer a song of invitation, which is an opportunity for
there may be some folks who change their heart, change their mind, change their direction, as Ron says, from the scripture, to confess something they've been doing wrong, or to confess that they want to move in a better direction. The invitation is yours this morning, as we stand.